Today on Real Radio,
we're looking at 10 key steps on how you and I might experience the glory of God departing in our lives. And by learning, we want to stay away from that happening in our lives.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. In fact, Pastor Jack is in a multi-part mini-series taken from the first 11 verses of chapter 4. Here, we're told of how Israel once again had to deal with their ancient foe, the Philistines. We're also told that Israel was so defeated that they ended up losing tens of thousands of foot soldiers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called When the Glory Has Departed.
When the glory has departed. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And rather than take the time to read through it as we have earlier, what we want to do is look at highlights as we've selected in this chapter things that would rob us from the glory of God. We're looking at 10 key steps on how you and I might experience the glory of God departing in our lives. And by learning, we want to stay away from that happening in our lives. A very quick and brief overview. We've got 1 Samuel 4, and in this chapter, this is where God is now beginning to speak, and Samuel is God's tool. Eli, tragically, not passing on spiritual depth and knowledge to his children. His sons now have grown up to be base men, reprobate men, and yet they're in the priesthood, they're in the ministry, and they are altogether idle concerning their commitment to God. They have allowed things, listen, of the ministry to become extremely common. That's a dangerous thing. When you and I get up to go to church or to do our thing for the Lord, and it's a common thing, we don't treat it special, it's no longer a passion of our heart, that is a dangerous place. And Eli's sons were in that place, tragically. And we remember that as a person goes in their relationship with God, so goes the family. And as an old proverb goes, as the family goes, so goes the nation. But it all begins with one person. And we know that this is true. We've seen it happen in our own lives. But God is going to turn a nation around through Samuel. The Bible tells us there in 1 Samuel 3 and 4 that there was a great poverty for the Bible, that the Word of God was not going out. And so because of that, there was a dearth in the land for the Word of God. There was not a revelation clearly given to the people. And so when the Bible is not presented before people that they can take and digest and know for themselves, what happens next is that people begin to invest in their own way of living, their own path. And as the scripture says, where there's no vision, my people perish. And so we want to be careful. As we advance through this chapter, we're not going to complete it tonight, so you can breathe easy. We will pick up probably next week or the week after that cry of one of the sons of Eli, his wife, Eli's daughter-in-law. She's pregnant. When she hears that the ark of God has been taken captive, that Eli is dead, that his two sons have been killed, she in her pregnancy goes into early delivery. The child is born, and just before she dies, she cries out, Ichabod! And Ichabod means the glory has departed. And Israel has fallen from grace. How tragic it is when the glory has departed. Listen, last time together we saw, and we've got those 10 steps, but the last time we were together, we saw the first one. And that was when there is no spiritual word. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, we read there before, then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation, that is, of the word of God. So the first step to spiritual decay, or the 10 steps that lead to the glory departing is that there's no spiritual word. There may be a lot of words, but nothing spiritual. There may be a lot of things in the sermon. There may be a lot of fun in the church. But if there's not Bible verse, if there's not study of the Bible, listen, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, God's people will begin to perish. They'll begin to go off the course. Listen, when the Bible says, and Jesus sat and taught them, when you read that in your New Testament scripture, the word in the Greek is Jesus sat down and taught them verse by verse. That's where we get this teaching or expositional teaching, verse by verse, word by word sometimes. Why? Because if the spiritual word is being presented and given forth, Jesus said it clear in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and they'll follow me. When the Bible goes out, God's people will respond. I found it interesting yesterday in that we did a funeral, yet another funeral of a young man who's lost his life. And you give out the word of God, and some people reject, and some people accept. And, you know, that's an amazing, wonderful power the Bible has. When it's presented, every time the Bible is given, decisions will be made. Some decisions will be yes, some decisions will be no. But decisions will be made every time the Bible is presented, because it's a spiritual word. God says in Isaiah 55:11 that he has sent out his word, the Bible, and his word will not return void, but it will accomplish that very thing for which he has sent it. God's powerful word. We saw last time also under this first point that there will be no appetite for the Bible. They may look religious. They may be in church or like Israel. They've all gathered together. You've got Eli there. You've got Samuel. You've got a priesthood. You've got sacrifices. But the fact of the matter is there'll be no appetite for the Bible. That's a very scary time if you and I have no appetite for the Bible. We are, in fact, backsliding away from God. And then we saw last time that there will be no personal application. The Bible will go out. The teaching will come. And yet someone who is slipping away because there's no spiritual word that they're hanging on to, they won't apply it to their lives. Tragically, many people might even hear a spiritual word, a God-ordained Bible study, but they don't take it to their heart. They don't even care about that. And one of the telltale signs of that is 5 minutes after the sermon, they're talking about how the rams beat the lambs and all this stuff, and no talk about spiritual things. It's gone. No appetite, no personal application. And then finally, under this point last time together, we saw that there'll be no change in life. A person can traffic in and out of church all their life, and yet there's no change going on in their life. That is a terrible and scary place to be. So tonight, we pick up where we left off. Our second step to spiritual decay and when the glory is departed is that there will be no spiritual worship. No worship coming forth. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 16, it says the priesthood was corrupt in those days, and they would rob the sacrifices of the Lord from the people, saying, give the offering to me now, or I will take it by force. And so the sin of these young men, the son of Eli, were very great in the eyes of the Lord, for they treated the people's offerings to the Lord lightly and with contempt. People would come to make an offering to God in worship, and Eli's sons had so corrupted the priesthood that what the priest would do is steal the offering from the people who had come to sacrifice to God, and they would take it for themselves. There was no spiritual worship, only carnal worship of their own belly. They would take that meat that was offered to God and they would seize it for themselves. Very, very terrible. No spiritual worship. In John chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, but the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when the glory is departing, there'll be no true spiritual worship. Listen, there'll be a lot of noise. There can be a lot of music. There can be a lot of stuff going on. We can have skits and dramas and all this. We can have words up on the screen. But unless the worship is spiritual, it's nothing. And if we come in and we get entertained by the, quote, music, we're in a dangerous place. When we begin to look at one another and say, oh, wasn't that, that was neat. Oh, that song, that was a fun song. There's nothing wrong with fun songs. But listen, understand what spiritual worship is. It is our collective giving to God from our hearts, his praise and worship. It is what we give him. I love the convocation, the gathering of God's people for this reason. It's very cool if you understand the very simple dynamics of it. We come to worship him. When we do that, he is blessed. Now watch. In response to our blessing him, he speaks to us through his word. That's why, and for those of you who teach the Bible, you'll recognize immediately what I'm about to say here, that when the worship is spiritual, when we enter in that to that spiritual worship of giving unto the Lord our praise and our adoration of him, I get to come behind the pulpit, open up the Bible, and learn with you. You might say, what do you mean? No, I understand. I've got my notes, though they're kind of vague. I've got my Bible open. I've prepared. But let me tell you something. There is a joy. There is an awesome power of God that when we have worshiped him, he cannot stay out of the service. He, like when Solomon had completed the building of the temple, what happened? They came there to go into the temple. All the priests were lined up and they couldn't get in because it was so great that God jumped into the temple before anybody could get in there. His glory began to emanate out of it, and the priests couldn't even go in because of the glory of God. Can you imagine? They try to go in. They try to go in. The glory of God. It was so grand. It's like God was waiting for the house of worship to be completed. It wasn't that it was a building. David made that clear. God doesn't dwell in a building, doesn't need a building. It was what the building was dedicated to. Worship. That's what we're dedicated to. Our building. No, not this building. And no, not the building to build. This building, made out of flesh and bone and blood, right? It's to be a temple of worship, of praise. When there's no spiritual word, there'll be no spiritual worship. A horrible sign of decay. And where there's no true worship, my friend, you can bank on false worshiping systems to arise, an imposter type of worship. It will arise. In John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus said there, you worship that which you do not know. The woman from Samaria had said, where do we worship God? In Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim here in Samaria? What do we do? And Jesus says, you worship that which you do not know. Listen, were they involved in worship? Yes, outwardly. Were they committed? Absolutely. Were they excited about it? Yep. But Jesus comes on the scene and says, listen, you know what you're doing. And he says, I tell you this, worship is not in some geographical location. It's in spirit and it's in truth. That is, it's got to be from the Bible, in the Bible, rooted in Scripture, and anointed by the Spirit of God. Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you, that's us, whatsoever Jesus has commanded us. And one of those great things is that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God in the life of a believer, and when that begins to happen, that believer must worship. It's a glorious thing. A worshiper, it's been said, is a conqueror, and a conqueror is one under orders to serve. What a beautiful thought that is. You know, have you ever seen those little wind-up toys? They're basically antiques now, I guess. Maybe you might see some sort of a one restored or whatever, but you wind them up, and it was like the little guy, he plays the cymbals, his foot hits the pedal, it hits the big drum, his other foot is playing a violin or a bass, and the one little guy, everything's going on around him. You've seen those little things? That reminds me of the Christian. That's how my life is supposed to be. that when I get out of bed, there should be in the spirit as I move, not, boom, 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 but every moment of my, every movement, every being of my life should be something of worship to God. As though I had cymbals in one hand and a guitar in the other hand. And as that little guy moves along, praising the Lord. That's how the Christian ought to be. That's how God would have us to be. We certainly have a reason. Worship God while you can, Christian, because we have a rare opportunity until Jesus takes us home. Listen, the opportunity will cease the moment he takes us home. Say, what do you mean, man? I'm kind of saving up all my worship till I get there, you know. No. You got to practice here. But worship while you can. And do you understand, worship is not only singing, it's existing. It's offering everything up to the Lord. If you come to my house tonight, not tonight, it'd be too late, but if you come to my house sometime, as people do, when we open the front door, we have this 5-pound Yorkshire Terrier. And when you open the door, someday I got to take a picture of this because you won't believe it. I don't see how she does it. She stands straight up, then arches her back so far back, and she lifts her paws so high like this that they go back like that. And she will stand there and look at you like you're God. And she'll stand there, and every time I see her, I should be like her in the presence of God. I walk in and she's like, praise you, Jack, praise you, hallelujah, Jack. And she's so Pentecostal, it's hilarious. She's just like this with her paws way up in the air. And so many times the Lord has reminded my heart, you need to walk into my sanctuary like that. You need to walk into my presence like that. You need to learn something from this dog. Worship God while you can, because you know what? There's no witnessing in heaven. And worship is also witnessing for God. Did you know that? There's no witnessing in heaven. No crusades. There'll be no crusades in heaven. Everybody's saved. Everybody's there. No crusades. No reaching out. No witnessing. No homeless people in heaven. You can't worship the Lord through blessing the homeless. That's going to be impossible to do. Listen, no counseling. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you can't worship God through giving and counseling. That's a form of worship. You're giving out the word of God. There'll be no funerals in heaven. We gather together at a funeral. We're preaching the word of God, ministering to people who are hurting. That's all going to be gone. Worship God here now while you can. There'll be no more funerals there. Listen, are you ready for this? There'll be no more prayer meetings in heaven. None. Isn't that weird to think? We've all lived in prayer meetings. In heaven, there'll be no prayer meeting. You can't worship God in prayer in heaven. You just walk up to him and say, hi, Lord, can I have a drink? I mean, it's all there right on the spot. That's going to be great. But no prayer meetings. Worship God here while you can. Because the day is coming when we'll be in his presence. And all of our worship and all of our dedication to God and for God will all be done at that point. It's all over. It's been said that you can't take what you have with you after you die. The Christian has the rare opportunity to take what he does have, though, and send it up ahead in dedicating all that he or she has in worship to God, whatever it might be. But be careful, because whenever there is no true worship, false worship must fill the gap. The human soul, the human spirit, the human emotion demands some sort of entertainment. If we're not going to worship God in spirit and in truth, then the unconverted or the wayward heart will pursue entertainment to fill the void. And they'll call it worship, because that's what you're supposed to call it. False worship will arise. Look at verses 2 through 4 here in 1 Samuel chapter 4. It says, let us, they say, let us bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord. from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. Did you hear that? Hey, we just lost the battle. The Philistines are beating us up. Somebody go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it among us so that it might save us. False worship. Did you get that? Not the God of the Ark of the Covenant, but get the covenant, get the Ark, get it out here. False worship. See, Jack, how can you call that false worship when they've got the very holy thing of God, the thing that Indiana Jones has been looking for, man? I mean, it's a holy deal. It's all covered in gold. It's awesome. And it's got the Ten Commandments in there and Aaron's rod and the showbread and the manna. It's all, how can you, listen, false worship. Wow. In about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to be down under the earth just off the Temple Mount. And we're going to go through the tunnel. And we're going to come just opposite the wall. And you'll be able to touch the wall of on the other side once the Ark of the Covenant sat. They know this. You'll be as close to that point as humanly possible. And this question will be asked. It's always asked. What if we were able to touch the Ark? Would it kill us? Like in the movie? Like when Uzziah touched it also when David was moving it, would it kill us? Would it fry us? The answer is a simple no. If we found the Ark of the Covenant, we could lift the lid up and look at the Ten Commandments and pull out the manna and look at Aaron's rod that had budded, that almond staff. Why not? I mean, it killed people of the Old Testament time when they touched it. Why not? Because the glory has departed. God doesn't dwell between those cherubim covered in gold on earth anymore. The New Testament has come. The new covenant in his blood. It's not in the old economy of the Old Testament. The old has been fulfilled in the new. But they call out for the ark instead of the God of the ark. They set their eyes upon a thing, an icon, a symbol of God. That's a dangerous thing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, the Bible says, these exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. That's a very dangerous thing. When you turn your back on God and begin to worship the things that God has made. It's very common. I think outside of Jesus Christ, seated on our hearts, every human will do that. Every human will do that. Every human's doing it. If Jesus is not enthroned on your heart, something will be. But false worship will always lead someone astray. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 22, starting there. Romans 1, 22. It says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God, or the glory of the incorruptible God, into an image made like corruptible man. Now listen to this. And birds, I mean, they made images of birds, and four-footed beasts, they made images of those, and creeping things.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When the Glory Has Departed, an insightful look at the first 11 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 4. Again, the title, When the Glory Has Departed. In fact, it's a multi-part mini-series taken from this passage, which means that we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, you can always visit realradioactive.org if you'd like to hear today's edition of Real Radio once again, or you can hear it as many times as you'd like. In fact, you can also hear archived editions of Real Radio, and you can even become a Real Radio podcast subscriber while you're there. By the way, this is all made easy with our brand new Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. We've been telling you all about that. You really should get it if you get a chance. Have you downloaded it yet? Don't forget, it is free. To learn more, visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.